The scripture reading this evening is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17, the verses 8 through 16. It's on page 379 to 380 in your Bibles. Continuing our story of Elijah, the prophet of God, the rugged reformer. We saw him last week at the brook where he was cared for by the Lord, who sent ravens to feed him and the brook that he could drink. And the brook dried up. And then we come to this. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Before we open this beautiful story, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we know that the eye of the Lord is on the sparrow. And if it is on the sparrow, I know he cares for us. You cared for Elijah. And you recruited a widow and commanded her to care for him. O Lord, let us see this beautiful story, for you care for us. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. The story of Elijah is really a beautiful, beautiful story. Elijah was a man like us, James says. He was just like us. He was frail like us, but he was a man of prayer. And he prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months at the word of Elijah. And now we come to an episode in his life, in his journey. He was cared for at the brook. He was hidden there. Ravens don't leave a trail. You can't follow where they are, where they go. They go through the air. And daily, twice a day, the ravens brought him bread and meat. And he drank from the brook. But then the brook dried up. But the Lord is not going to let Elijah worry about that. The Lord gives him another command. And the word of the Lord said, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded, that's a beautiful word. I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he went. Now, there's some questions here. Why would Elijah go to Zarephath? It's in the country of Sidon, which is west of Israel. Sidon is right along the Mediterranean River, a Mediterranean Sea. That's where Sidon is. And the king of Sidon had a daughter whose name was Jezebel. And that daughter married Ahab. And that daughter introduced into the land of Israel the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth, which were the gods of Sidon. So it's the lion's den. It's the home of the kind of idolatry that brought Israel down. And it's to that country that God sends Elijah. Why? Why does God send him there? What a terrible place for Elijah to go, who was a champion against Baal and Ashtaroth. He was a champion against that idolatry. And yet he goes to the very place where that idolatry was home. Why does he go? Couldn't God have kept that brook running with water? Couldn't God have provided more water for Elijah? God can do anything. But there's another reason. It's not because God couldn't do it. He could do it. But we go to the New Testament for an answer as to why Elijah went to Zarephath in the country of Sidon, which was the headquarters of Baal and Ashtaroth worship. Jesus gives us the answer in Luke chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and it was on the Sabbath day. And Jesus came into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the janitor gave him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus opened the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and began to read from Isaiah 61, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for I have anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give liberty to those who are captives, and to proclaim the great day of the Lord." And then he closed the scroll and gave it back to the janitor. And all the people in the synagogue's eyes were fixed on him. And he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me and anointed me to bring good tidings to the poor and liberty to the captives and seeing to the blind and proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord." But then Jesus said to them, "Doubtless you will say, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in Nazareth the great deeds that you've done elsewhere.'" And then Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country." The people rejected him. And then he said, "There were many widows in the days of Elijah, but to none of them was Elijah sent but to a widow in Zarephath in the country of Sidon." Why was Elijah sent to the widow in the country of Sidon, the enemy of Israel and the promoter of Baal worship. Why was Elijah sent there? It was because the word of the Lord was rejected in Israel. The word of the Lord was rejected in Nazareth. Jesus cites Elijah going to Zarephath because it was rejected there. It was rejected in Israel. They turned a deaf ear to Elijah. Wanted no part of it. Didn't want to hear what Elijah had to say. Reminds me of the letter that Jesus wrote to the church at Ephesus. It's recorded in Revelation chapter 2. He says, the word of him who holds the seven stars in his hands, who walks among the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested them, and who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, but I also hate. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So in other words, when Israel rejected the word of Elijah, the Lord sent Elijah to enemy territory and to bring the word there. That's what happens. That's what the Lord said to the church at Ephesus too. If you don't repent, I'm going to send that word elsewhere. I'm going to remove your candlestick from you. What a terrible thing. That is a worse judgment than anything. And so Elijah goes to Zarephath. He goes in obedience to the Lord, because God had commanded a widow to care for him there. That is really interesting. God commanded a widow. God is recruiting a substitute. He is recruiting a widow to care for Elijah. A substitute. One who would obey. One who would obey the command that God gave to her. Because isn't this what it says? I have commanded a widow there to care for you. And so, I'm getting a substitute for the people of Israel, and she's the one. Do you know this whole idea of God finding a substitute is a fantastic thing? It's a principle in the Bible that you find all through the Bible, that God finds the proper substitute for those who don't do what He wants them to do, who do not give obedience. He finds a substitute. You know who the great substitute is? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the substitute par excellence. He's the one that's best of all. He is the one who came in total obedience to His Father's will, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself. He emptied Himself of the honor and the glory and the priorities of heaven itself. He emptied Himself of all of that and became one of us. He took upon Himself our human nature. And found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself even to death, the death of the cross. He never gave up his Godhead. He remained true and eternal God, but he took upon himself a human nature. He was the perfect substitute. And that's why it's such a beautiful song, "Lead Me to Calvary." King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy crown, thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou was laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee while thou slept. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lead me to Calvary. He was the great substitute. So this widow is the substitute. So Elijah goes to her. He goes to Zarephath. He's not exactly sure where the widow would be. He's not exactly sure if he has to knock at her door or if he will see her in another way. He has no idea. Elijah is flying blind. He doesn't know. But one thing he knows is the word of the Lord. You go to Zarephath in Sidon, and I have commanded a woman there to take care of you. So he goes with only one thing, and that is the word of the Lord given to him. It's that word that kept him going. It's that word that drove him forth and gave him hope and gave him confidence that he was doing the right thing. Because the word of the Lord said it. If God said it, and I believe it, that settles it. So he went to Zarephath. Maybe he would have rather gone east. But no, the Lord said, you go west. You go to Sidon. You go to the den of the enemy. And so Elijah does. And he comes and sees at the gate of the city a woman gathering sticks. He doesn't send Elijah to the mayor of the town. He doesn't send him to a wealthy businessman in the town. He sends him to a widow whose breadwinning husband has passed away. She has no source of income. Can you imagine what that must be like? No source of income. Grinding poverty. Absolute poverty. Nothing. And he sees her gathering some sticks because she doesn't even have wood at home to build a fire so that she can bake. She has to gather a few sticks. So Elijah addresses her and he says to her, he calls out to her and says, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, can you believe that? I mean, here's a stranger that comes into town. She's never seen him before. He's a stranger. And in this poverty and famine and drought, he says, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, so she hears his request and she's on her way to get it. And then he calls after her and he says, Also, he says, bring me a little morsel of bread in your hand. What a question. Bring me a little bit of morsel in your of bread in your hand. And she said, then listen to her answer. As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That's where she's at. At the absolute bottom of the ladder, the last rung. Elijah then says this. Elijah said to her, fear not. Fear not. And do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for you and your son. And then Elijah says this, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. Amazing. Amazing. She is at the end of her rope. She is going to make a little bit of bread for her and her son that they may eat and then die because of the grinding poverty. But Elijah says to her, first make me a cake. And then you've got something for you and your son too. For I tell you this. I tell you this in the name of the Lord God of Israel, that that flour will not be empty and that jug of oil will not cease until the day that the Lord sends rain upon this country, upon this land. So she goes. That's a beautiful thing. The obedience of this lady, this beautiful obedience, this simple faith, taking Elijah at his word and coming in the name of the Lord. He comes in the name of the Lord and he gives her this command and she does it. That's what faith is. Faith is taking a hold of the Word of God and living by it. The Lord is absolutely sure in His promises. And of course, Elijah had experienced the proof of the promise of God in his experience at the brook. Who would have thought that ravens would come and feed him? But God provided for him. You know how that song goes, as he has been, he forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And so Elijah just knew, he knew that the God who cared for him at the brook would care for him at the widow's house. And so he goes with her. She is recruited as being the servant of the Lord, and now she cares for him. What an awesome God we have. What a wonderful God that He uses anyone. If He can use her, He can use anyone. That's the way the Lord is. Remember how Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Consider your calling, my brothers. Not many noble, not many wise, not many educated, not many mighty. But God has chosen the weak things to confound the wise. He chose the weak to confound the strong. And He chose you and me, that no flesh might glory in His presence. He chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in His presence. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So here's Elijah in the home of the widow of Zarephath, eating. But notice that he says something else. He says, as you go and make that for you and your son, you break something from me first. What do you think of that? Bring me something first before you take care of yourself and your son. The widow might have thought, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Am I to give him something before I give to my own boy? But Elijah says, go and make it, but bring me some first. Now, who is the me? It's Elijah, the man of God, the representative of the God of Israel, the representative of the kingdom of God, the bearer of the word. He is the one who says, bring me something first. The woman is put to a test. It's a test. Remember how God said to Malachi, through Malachi to the people of Israel, prove me now, O my people, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and give you more than you can hold. If you remember your tithes and offerings, that's what he says to Malachi 3. The Lord also said, Jesus said at the end of chapter 6 of Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. And now the widow is put before that test. She doesn't demur. She doesn't disagree with that. Because with that command, Elijah gave this marvelous promise. By the Lord God of Israel, I say to you that that jar of flour will not diminish and that jug of oil will not be empty until the Lord sends rain upon Israel. And so the woman had to take that word and had to go home and make that bread for Elijah. And then for herself and her son, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, whose word is absolutely reliable and true. It's that word that you and I have in our hearts. It's that word we have in this Bible. That word is true. It's absolutely true. We don't have to worry about it. God has spoken. And He fulfills His word to the very letter. Jesus said, one jot or tittle shall not fall away from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus Christ gives us His command. And He, with that command, He gives us the assurance that He is faithful and true to His word. So she believed it. And she did it. And do you know what happened? What happened is that the oil did not fail and the jug of or the jar of flour did not diminish until God sent rain upon Israel. It absolutely was true. God's word was literally true. Nothing failed. It's not that God gave them a great supply of flour and that God gave them a barrel of oil. No, no, no. It was enough for one day. It was just enough for one day. Remember how the Lord says, as your days, so shall your strength be? Remember how the Lord says, if my eye is on the sparrow, The sparrow doesn't have a whole storehouse of food. No, every day the sparrow goes out and the other birds, they just get what they need for the day. They don't have a storage. This lady didn't have a storage either. It was day by day by day by day. The Lord was providing all she needed every day, and all that she needed was there. Remember how Paul says in that great chapter of Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he says in verse 19 of Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. So don't worry. Don't fear. If He cares for sparrows, I know He'll care for me and you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs doesn't say don't use your understanding, but don't lean on it. Lean on the Lord, and He will make your path straight. He will give you good success. Then you know what it says a couple verses later in Proverbs 3? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be full of grain and your vats will pour forth with abundant wine. The Lord is the giver. The widow just used a little bit of her flour and oil, just the last little bit. But the Lord gave her all she needed for the rest of her, of the time before, until the rains came and the crops grew. The Lord cares for us. No one cares for me like Jesus. No one cares for you like Jesus. He cares for us, watches over us. Not a hair can fall from our head without His will. No one loves you or me like Jesus does. Isn't that a great truth? And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts this evening. We thank You for this beautiful story in the life of Elijah. O Lord, help us to wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. For You will strengthen our hearts. For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So lead us by Your Spirit, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.